We just ask that as we look at your word this morning and as we look at what you say about, Lord, your incredible creation, Lord, that you didn't just make a man, but you also made a woman. And Lord, that you put the two of them together and you said, this is good, and they are one. Lord, I thank you for my mother. And I thank you for my mother-in-law, and I thank you for all of those who, Lord, and are like mothers in my life. I thank you for, Lord, just the way that you have given them traits that reflect your love and your goodness. Lord, we ask that you'll give us understanding of your word this morning by the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a passage that, you know, it's one of the Ten Commandments, but it's, I think, one of the Ten Commandments that is ignored many times. I just don't hear very much taught on the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I don't think the Lord would have said this if it didn't have great significance. It certainly wouldn't have been one of the Ten Commandments. Now, I know in our day and age, we have all sorts of new ideas of family. We have all sorts of new ideas of what the place of the man is and the place of the woman and all of these. And they're not really new ideas. They've been around since Adam and Eve, really. In fact, the Lord even said after the fall that things had changed in even the structure that he had set up. They hadn't changed, but that they would change. But the Lord says, honor your father and your mother. And I'm taking the second part of that commandment, and I'm calling the message today, honor your mother. And I want to look at how can we honor our mothers? Everybody in this room has a mother or had a mother at some point. You're not here without a mother. So how can we honor our mothers? I don't believe this is just when our mothers are alive. I think this continues from generation to generation. Those who whose mothers have passed on, if they were believers, they went to be with the Lord, you can still honor your mother today. And those of us who our mothers are still alive, there's ways that we can be honoring our mother. Notice the promise. It says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So let me ask the question. How we honor our mothers? How do we honor our mothers? First of all, it says in Proverbs 1:8, let's look at Proverbs 1:8 real quick. Proverbs 1, verse 8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Find that interesting, you know, that it says here, do not forsake the law of your mother. So the first way that we can honor our mothers is by remembering the law of our mothers. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Because when I first read that, I said, what is that? What is the law of my mother? I know in the passage it goes on to say some things that that wisdom that the father and mother want to give to their son. But I think there's more to that, the law of your mother. Second way we can honor our mothers is by not acting foolishly. Proverbs 15:20. Let's look at Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. So the second way we can honor our mothers is by not acting foolishly. Not acting in a foolish way. We're going to get back to that as well. And then finally, by being righteous and wise. We find that in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Just need to turn one page in this really tiny Bible. Proverbs 23, verses 24 through 25. Says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. So the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. We see that by being righteous and wise, we can bring gladness and joy to our parents. Now, I've never heard of a situation, never heard of this. It might be out there, maybe a few places, maybe this could happen, but I've never heard of a situation where you have a child who was foolish, who was, maybe went and stole something or murdered something, and they're in jail, and you have the mother going, my son is in jail. He's so great. I'm so proud of him. I've never heard, you never see that. You might see that a few times. I don't know, maybe someplace. But I've never seen that. I've never seen a mother excited about the foolishness that their child did. Even a mother who wasn't following the Lord. Even a mother who maybe had no interest in following the Lord is still ashamed of their child when their child acts foolishly, when their child does things that are wrong. But the other way around is also true. I've known many times where I have a mother comes in and maybe she's not really walking with the Lord, but she's bragging about her kids who are doing well. She's bragging about her kids that are following the Lord. I've seen that many times. And I've seen many times where there's a mother who's brokenhearted over what their children are doing. Remember, it says a wise son makes a father glad. What does a foolish son do to his mother? Breaks their heart. Breaks their heart. That's the other side of that. And you know what else? Even if your mother is no longer alive, you bring shame on the family when you act foolishly. You bring honor on the family when you act righteously. If you see a righteous person, someone who is walking with the Lord, somebody who everybody looks at and says, that person loves the Lord, one of the first things people say is, their parents must have really raised them right. Their parents must have worked hard to raise that kid because they have respect, because they act in an honorable way. And when you see a brat, when you see a kid not acting at all the right way, it's one of the first things that you think. Whether you like it or not, try not to be judgmental, but you think it, those parents must not have raised those kids right. They must not have disciplined them. Now, whether that's true or not, the actions of the children, whether they be still children or whether they be adults, reflect on their parents. They reflect on the parents. And so if we want to bring honor to our mothers, then we need to act in a wise way, in a righteous way. That's what that last passage is talking about. But now let's talk about honoring our mother and what is the law of your mother? What is the law of your mother? I spent some time really thinking about this. Now, I'm sure some of these things are true about fathers as well, but we really see this when it comes to our mothers. The first law or principle of the law of your mother is love. Love. You know, I learned way more about love from my mother than I did from my father. I learned different type of love from my father, but I really learned love. A love that is unconditional in many ways, and yet true love. I learned that from my mom. Because, even when I didn't do so well. And I don't mean just when I was being bad. But, you know, there's those times that you're struggling to do something when you're a kid. Maybe you're riding a bike or you're trying to walk when you're younger or whatever, you know, and you fall down. And the father kind of, you know, he might come and help you up, but usually he's like, get back up. You can do it. Go on. So I learned persistence, right, from my father. But my mother, what does she do? She comes over. She grabs you. Are you okay? Are you beat up? Are you okay? Are you bleeding? How can I help you? The mother is there holding you, comforting, loving. We learn about love. John 15:12. Love is very important, isn't it? It's something that the Lord wants us to understand. And I believe he put mothers into our lives at a very early age so we would understand love. That we would have a concept when he started to talk about it, we would have a place to go and go, oh, that's what love is about. Your mother. Now, I understand that there are those that don't have that. And it makes it very hard to understand the love of God. If you've never experienced the love of a mother, it's hard to understand the love of God. If you have experienced the love of the mother, then you know that a mother's love is persistent, isn't it? A mother's love is persistent. A mother will continue to love long past the time that a father is probably fed up and said, you know what, I'm done with you. You haven't listened. You haven't done what I ask you to do. When you decide to do the right thing, then you come back and talk to me. A mother, are you okay? Are you doing all right? Are you okay? Do you need any money? Are you okay? How are you doing? Even when the kid is doing their own thing, the mother is still loving. The mother is still reaching out. Now, we shouldn't, I'm not trying to badmouth fathers, I'm just saying the way it is, because fathers and mothers are supposed to be one, right? So we work as one. There's an aspect in the father that we see in God our Father, and there's an aspect in the mother that we see in God as well. God is one. He's three in one. And he has both those aspects as well when he deals with us. He's persistent in loving us, but at the same time, he disciplines us. And it says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So there has to be both. And so we see the law of the mother. I believe one of the laws of your mother is, first of all, love. Let's look at John 15:12. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. There's a conditional aspect there too. But it starts out in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The law of the mother, when it comes to love, is she demonstrates love to her children with the intent that her children will be able to demonstrate love to others and demonstrate love back to her. We're taught love. We don't just naturally love. We have to be taught what that means, don't we? And even after being taught, we don't fully understand it. Because, you know, we get mixed up. Love, we think sometimes is an emotion. Sometimes we think it's, doing stuff for people. Sometimes we think it's a commitment. And love is a commitment. It is a commitment. And we see that with a mother's love towards her children. The mother makes a commitment to love her children. But then she demonstrates it by her actions. And yes, you have good emotions in there too. So really, that love is all kind of, all of that tied into one. That's what makes love. There's emotions and feelings there, but it's also a commitment. Even when a mother doesn't feel like doing certain things, feel like doing certain things, she still does them. And what the Lord is saying here is, love each other as I have loved you. He demonstrated love for us. See, love has to be demonstrated. The only way I know how to love someone else is if I know, if I've been loved in some place, at some point. If I've been loved, then I can love others. Because of Yeshua demonstrating his love for me, I know how to love. Because of my mother demonstrating love when I was a kid, I know how to love. I knew how to love my children. I knew how to love my wife because it was demonstrated. And so the first law of the mother is to love. Secondly, putting others first. Romans 12:10. Putting others first. Now, this I see with mothers all the time. In fact, it kind of irritates me sometimes with Heather, because when we go to eat, it usually is the youngest, and then the next one, and then the next one, and the next one, and guess who's the oldest? Okay, and there's eight. We have eight kids, maybe. Well, you never know. We might have eight kids one of these days. Anyways, we have six kids, and so I'm number seven. Okay? That's how it should be. I'm not saying that's not right. That's how it should be. She thinks of others first. She's number eight, usually. But she thinks of all the other kids, then me, then herself, when it comes to feeding. And we see that with mothers, putting others before themselves. It's demonstrated. We see that with Jesus, don't we? With Yeshua. He came and he put us before himself. He didn't have to come and take all of our sin upon himself. He didn't have to die for us. He put us before himself. And it says, if anyone wants to be great in the kingdom of heaven, they must first be a servant. You know, through mothers, we learn what that means to be a servant. Because that's what they do all the time. They serve others. They think of others. And the thing is, well, with fathers, once again, you don't always see that, do you? And I know I don't always act that way. I should. You know, when it talks about fathers and mothers, when it talks about husbands and wives, notice what it says. It says, wives, be submissive to your husband. Okay, that's the issue that the wife has, usually, right? Be submissive to your husband. But it says for the husbands, it says, husbands, love your wives as Messiah loved the church and gave himself for it. See, as men, we don't naturally do that. But I think it's natural with mothers many times. It's natural with wives to give of themselves, to love. That comes a lot more naturally with the wife. The men, we have to learn it. And one of the ways that we first learn it is from our mothers. And we need to be paying attention. So that's the second law of the mother that I'm listing here. These aren't in any particular order, but that's the second one, putting others first. Let's look at Romans 12:10. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And I see this too in family life where, you know, you have two kids fighting over a toy. And how does the mother handle that usually? Well, what I see many times is the mother comes and says, why don't you play with it for part of the time and you play with it the next part? Or why don't you let your sister or brother play with it for a while and then you can play with it? In the process, you're learning to put others before yourself. No, I want to play with the toy. Well, after you get done standing in the corner, maybe you can play with the toy after your brother has gotten to play with it or after your sister has gotten to play with it. And mothers are teaching. As they're doing this, they're always teaching, putting somebody before yourself. And you learn that after a while, that we need to put others before ourselves. And we see that in the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit working in our lives says what? To prefer others, to put them before ourselves. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Preferring others before ourselves. And that can only happen through the Holy Spirit, but it needs to happen. You know, many times that's kind of a cop-out in our life. I know it isn't mine. Where I say, well, if I was walking in the Spirit, I would have done this. But it's so hard to walk in the Spirit. No, we need to be walking in the Spirit. And we need to be putting others before ourselves. If we're not, there's a problem, isn't there? If I am going through and constantly, you know, doing what I want, putting myself first, I'm not walking in the Spirit. Selfishness has no place when walking in the Spirit. But how do I learn selflessness? A combination. I can read about it in Scripture, but it needs to be demonstrated, doesn't it? And it begins to be demonstrated first in the home, through my mom, through our mothers, through our fathers as well, but mostly through the mother. We see this putting others first, comforting. Isaiah 66:13. Mothers are really, really good at comforting. You know, watching our kids grow up, I would try as best I could to be comforting. But I just couldn't do it the way Heather could. You know, she just had the way of just soothing our kids and calming them down. And there were times that I could do it pretty good. There were times that our kids needed me. But most of the time, and I remember a time when our kids were pretty young, I even got a little jealous over it. You know, how come they're always going to their mom, you know? Because she's comforting. And even when I would try, there were times I just wasn't comforting enough. I was maybe just a little tiny bit impatient. And they could sense that. And so with the mother, they feel comforted. But there's an aspect of God that also comforts and wants to comfort. And so we see in Isaiah 66:13, as one whom comforts, whom his mother comforts, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. This is God talking to his people Israel. And he's saying, I'm going to comfort you like a mother. You're going to feel so safe and warm and comforted and taken care of and loved. You're going to feel like you're being held by your mother. That's what he's saying there. As one is comforted by the mother, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. Now, right there, if you've never been comforted by your mother, you wouldn't understand that, would you? So we have to experience that. There has to be that experience somehow. And that's why God designed the family the way he did. Is that so we would experience these things from an early age. And when he said it, we would understand. Now, if you've never felt that, never been comforted by your mother, this is hard to understand. I understand. But God can still do that work of healing in your life. And you can still experience that love and that warmth. But we need to be honoring our mothers because it is through them that we learn this type of comfort. We learn what God is talking about there. There's an aspect of God, and I believe we see it, and we already see it here, I believe. There's an aspect of God where this love, like a mother, comes out the strongest. And I believe that is with the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit really represents the aspect of God that's similar to a mother. If you look at what we've already talked about, love, putting others first, and this comforting. Let's look at John 15:26. You know, just remember, mothers didn't come up with the idea to comfort. God came up with the idea of the mother. He's the one that created the mother. John 15:26 says, but when the helper comes, and another terminology for that is also comforter, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So when the helper comes, he says, I'm going to send you a helper. And there's, once again, other passages that say, or other translations that are just as accurate that say comforter. I'm going to send you a comforter. And when he comes, he's going to testify of me. How does he testify of the Lord? Because many times we look at that and, okay, yeah. And I've heard people that they relegate the work of the Holy Spirit only to conviction of sin. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. That the whole work of the Holy Spirit is just to convict of sin. Absolutely not. The work of the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, Yeshua says before he goes, he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to send the helper. And even though I'm going away, I'm going to be with you always. My spirit is going to be with you. All of those aspects of love that we find physically or are in the natural with our mother, we see in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort, there to provide for, encourage, yes, testify of the Lord. What is he testifying of the Lord? Not just what Jesus did for us on the cross, not just what Yeshua has done for us on the cross, but he's testifying of God's love. Remember what it says? It's the Spirit that says that we are the children of God. It's the Spirit that works in our heart and says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's a lot of aspects of the Holy Spirit. It's through the Spirit that we have life. We need to be walking in the Spirit. And we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, many, many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And very similar to the gifts that you see a mother giving her children. A mother gives her children a lot of gifts. Actually, before the public school age, most children were homeschooled. Most children were homeschooled and they were taught by their mothers, mostly. They were taught some things by their fathers, but there was a lot of stuff that their mothers taught them. And still today, we learn a lot of things through our mothers. And what is the Holy Spirit? What is its main point? What is it supposed to be doing? Bringing us into all truth, teaching us about the Lord, teaching us about the Word of God, giving us all of those tools we need to live a life that brings honor to our Father. Yeah. And you know that that's another aspect of the law of the mother. I'm skipping one here. Well, several here. The one on the bottom that I have, Colossians 3:20. Obedience to your father is one of the laws of the mother. I know we've all heard it before. Listen to your father. Do what your father tells you to do. When your father gets home, but here's the thing there. Just like the Holy Spirit is always telling us to do what? To obey the Father. So the mother, if there's a father around, does the same thing. You need to listen to your father. You need to respect your father. You know, if one of my kids sasses me, Heather's right on that. You don't treat your father that way. It's the same thing the other way around, too. They best better not sass her, because then they're really in trouble. And does anybody remember what Yeshua says about the Holy Spirit? He says, you might be able to say something bad about the Father or about the Son, but don't you dare blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Don't you dare attack the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard that before about your mother? You say something about my father and about me, but don't talk about my mother. See, there's an aspect there. Why? Why is that true? Why do we feel that way? When somebody talks about our mothers, we want to go to war. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's such a connection of love there. There's such a connection of love there that to attack that is reason to fight. To attack that person who has loved us so much makes us get angry and makes us want to fight. And that's the type of love you see between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That same communion, that same closeness, that same love. And the Holy Spirit is so gentle. And so loving, and so caring, so comforting, even more than our mothers. The Holy Spirit is that way. And so the Father and the Son, they protect the Spirit. Just like you see in a family, you protect your mother. You might say something about the Father or the Son, but don't talk bad about the Holy Spirit. In a family, you can say something bad about the father and son. Don't talk bad about my mother. There's that same connection of love. That's part of the law of the mother. Part of the law of the mother is, once again, obedience to the father. Let's look at Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So we see here that the Lord is commanding children to obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And this is something that we see throughout Scripture, that the Spirit of God always encourages us to be obedient to the Father, to do the things that the Father tells us to do, to listen to the words of the Father. It's the Spirit that pushes us to do that, that encourages us to do that. What about the law of your mother when it comes to providing? Psalm 145:16. Let's look at that. Psalm 145:16. I know when it comes to providing for the family, that's usually looked at something as what the father does, and it is. It is one of the main things that the father is called to do. But the mother provides in other ways as well. Our mothers provide in other ways. But it talks about God, that it says, you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. And I think about it from this standpoint. The father would go and he would do the work, right? He would provide in the sense that all the tools were there. But who normally uses those tools to provide a meal? Who takes that and then provides comfort for the family? Who makes the home a nice place to be in? It's the mother. It's the mother that does that. And that's what we see once again many times with the Holy Spirit. The Lord has given us all the tools. Yeshua has gone and purchased our redemption. But it's the Holy Spirit that is actively working in our lives with the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in us. And remember, it says in Scripture that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the place that He resides. And what you and I need to do is we need to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit so this can become a place where the Spirit loves to be, a place of dwelling for the Spirit. It's temporary, right? This is a temporary dwelling. And yet it says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord provides, just like our mothers provided for us as well. Gentle guidance. We kind of already talked about this, but John 16:13. Because we need both in our lives. We need discipline, which is not always so gentle. Sometimes it seems a little harsh, but it still guides us in the right direction. But we also need gentle guidance. 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will speak and tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And we find this gentle guidance that we see with our mothers is true also with the Holy Spirit. There's a gentle guidance. And what is he doing? He's only speaking. He's only saying what the Father has already said. But he's saying it in such a way so that it's understandable. And I know growing up, when it came to making decisions about my life or how to discipline me, my father and mother would talk about it. Then my dad would go off to work. Who carried it out? It was my mother. My mother carried it out. If I didn't go with it, that's when I got the speech, when your father comes home. And you know what? When our father comes home, when Yeshua returns, guess what? We're going to be held accountable for all those times that we didn't listen to the Holy Spirit when it was speaking to us, for all those times that we chose to do our own thing, for all those times that we said, no, I'm going to follow my own path instead of the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be held accountable for that. There's something called the judgment seat of Messiah, of Yeshua, that we're going to have to stand and give account. And so we need to be listening to that gentle prodding from the Holy Spirit and live our lives not foolishly, because when we live our lives foolishly, what does it do? It brings dishonor upon our Father, and it grieves our mother, doesn't it? In the natural. But in the spiritual, it brings dishonor on our Heavenly Father. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. Remember it says in Scripture, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. See, the notice those two responses. When you go against the Father's will in the natural, what does the Father usually do? I'm going to get you! He comes after you. Okay, the response is anger. God has that response towards sin, doesn't he? It says many times in Scripture. His nostrils flared. He was angry. But when you do the same thing in the natural, what is usually the response of the mother? Usually. They get angry too sometimes. But it very quickly goes to a broken heart. And they're grieved because of the actions that are happening. And you see that same combination of emotion and feeling. Not saying the father isn't grieved too. We are. But we see that mostly with the mother. And with the Lord, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we see that same interaction. And that's why it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by acting in a foolish way. We should bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Just as our mothers are always wanting us to bring honor, respect to our earthly Father. So how else can we honor our mother? By not acting foolishly. Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Living like there is no God, that's how we act foolishly. To live a life. You don't have to be doing anything really, really, really bad. You don't have to be doing anything that's going to get you put in jail or whatever. But if you just live a life for yourself as if there is no God, that you have no God to answer. That's a foolish life. That's a foolish way to live. Because we do have a God to answer to. And so what that does is in the long run, it brings dishonor. It brings dishonor on our family. It brings dishonor on our mother. And so living like there is no God is a way to act foolishly. We shouldn't do that. Selfish and manipulative behavior. Selfish and manipulative behavior. Let's look at Luke 9:25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. But we see in Luke 9:25, it says, for what profit is it if a man gains the whole world? So when we have an attitude of foolishness that is selfish and manipulative, selfish wanting just to please ourselves and manipulative in the sense that we are trying to gain as much as we can, as much power, as much authority, as much money, whatever it is that we're manipulating about, okay, that is a foolish way to live. And the result, the end result of that type of behavior will bring shame and dishonor. It was interesting to hear the great, great grandson of the Rockefeller, of John Rockefeller, talking about his father. Great grandfather. Maybe it's great, great grandfather. I'm not sure. But you know what? It wasn't good. What he was saying. He brought out some points that he said, and he was acting this way. And he was basically that all he cared about was money. Now, some of you might know him as being a really good person, and he was a good philanthropist. He gave a lot of money away at the end of his life. But the beginning of his life, the very beginning, started out pretty good, actually in the church. But in the middle of that, he got selfish, manipulative, only wanting to develop a bigger empire called a monopoly. And he didn't care about the workers anymore. And God had to bring that down. God actually used Teddy Roosevelt to be part of bringing that down, to deal with the big monopolies that were happening in this country at that time. So when we're selfish, when we're manipulative, it not only affects how people view our parents and our mothers, but it also affects the next generation too. Further down the road, they have to look back and say, you know, my dad knew business, maybe, or my great-grandfather, he knew business, but he didn't treat people very well. And I have to live with that reputation. And so, to bring honor to our mothers, we need to not live in a selfish and manipulative manner. Also, living in rebellion brings dishonor. We see that in 1 Samuel 15:23. 1 Samuel 15:23. 1 Samuel 15, if I can ever get there. And verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So another way of acting foolishly is living in rebellion. And we see that Saul was doing that. Saul was even a king. But he ended up bringing dishonor upon his whole family, and I'm sure upon his mother as well. By being prideful and boastful, That is acting foolishly. We see that in Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So prideful and boastful, yay. That type of attitude brings dishonor on our mothers, and it brings dishonor on ourselves as well. So, what's another way we can honor our mother? By not acting foolishly, by obeying the law of our mother, and through righteousness and wisdom. It's the final way that we'll look at here. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. We see that in Psalm 1:6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. You know, when we are acting in a righteous way, when we're walking in righteousness, what does that actually mean? It means we're walking in the Spirit. You can't walk in righteousness without the Holy Spirit. So that's why it says here, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous is something that is known to the Lord because he's the one that puts it out there, isn't he? He's the one that directs us when we're walking in righteousness, when we're walking in the Spirit. If we are not walking in the Spirit, we should not expect help from the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people that pray and they ask God for things, but they're not walking in the Spirit. They're not walking in a way of righteousness. But they expect the Lord to guide them and lead them in a path of unrighteousness. And they get angry when the Lord doesn't answer their prayer. But he knows the way of the righteous because he's the one directing it. So when you're walking in the Spirit and you're seeking the Lord, you will hear from him and he will give you direction. But if we're choosing to walk our own way in rebellion, don't expect that you're going to hear anything from the Lord. He's already told us the way we need to walk. And if we're not following it, then why are we expecting for him to come through and listen to our prayers or answer our prayers? What we need to do is go back to repenting and go back to that way of righteousness. And then he will hear our prayers and he will answer us. Because he knows the way of the righteous. It's familiar to him. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:12 real quick. Verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day. Oh, this is 2 Peter, sorry. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. Here we go again. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So we can honor our mother through righteousness, acting in a righteous way, and through wisdom. And when we do that, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He pays attention to the righteous. He listens to them. It says, and his ears are open to their prayer. So once again, if you want the eyes of the Lord to be on you, and what does that actually mean? I believe that has something to do with delight. It has something to do with his joy and his delight. He's looking at us, and he's enjoying what he's seeing. You know, the eyes of the Lord aren't on the wicked. He looks at them and, no, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to even give that any credibility. But he sees us if you're walking in righteousness. He sees those of us that are walking in righteousness, and he takes delight in it. Remember, Satan was going all over the place trying to cause problems when it happened to Job? Remember the whole thing with Job? And Satan was trying to cause all sorts of problems, and he comes before the Lord, and he's like, well, look at all the problems I've caused. You know, you've created this beautiful world, and I've messed it up big time. Ha! What are you going to do, God? And the Lord says, well, I've been watching somebody. Have you considered my servant Job? Because I've been watching him, and I'm taking delight in him. He's really cool. I really like him. He keeps listening to me. He keeps doing what I tell him to do. Satan's just grinding his teeth. But the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. I don't know about you, but I want him looking at me. And you know, the only thing that stops that is when we allow sin in. And we have to confess that to the Lord and make that right. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can have his delight again. We can have his eyes on us again. So finally, in Proverbs 15:20, a wise man makes his parents glad. So if we can honor our mothers through living in righteousness, and the only way we can live in righteousness is through Yeshua, is if we have accepted the free gift of salvation through Yeshua. That's the only way we can walk in righteousness, because we don't have righteousness in and of ourselves, do we? We're not righteous. We need to be redeemed, like Kai was talking about earlier. We need to be redeemed, and we have been redeemed. If you're a believer, you and I have been redeemed by the blood of Yeshua. So now we can walk in righteousness, but we need to walk in that. It's called sanctification, holiness, and his eyes will be on us. But also in wisdom. And we get those two things from the Lord. We get righteousness because of the work of Messiah in our life, and we get wisdom. What is wisdom? Applying knowledge, right? Because knowledge, you can have a lot of knowledge, and if you never apply it, you don't have wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. I know a lot of very, very, very knowledgeable people who don't have a relationship with the Lord. They know all about what it says in the Bible about God, but they haven't applied it. And that's really useless when you stand before the Lord to know a whole bunch of things and never apply it. And so wisdom is applied knowledge. And once again, we can only have that by the work of the Holy Spirit. The only way we can apply those things that we know of God is through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So we can honor our mothers through righteousness and wisdom. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, which we'll close with. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that you may be well, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And hopefully after we've gone through and we've looked at these things, following the law of our mother, not living a foolish way, in a foolish way, and walking in righteousness and wisdom, truly, if we do those things, it will be well with us, and we will be able to live long on the earth. That's what that promise is talking about. If we honor our father and mother, we will live well on the earth. Because in honoring our father and mother, we're honoring God. We're honoring our heavenly Father. And we're honoring him. And so the promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know, some people I've heard treat this as some type of, what's the word for it? Almost like it's a charm, a good luck charm. If I'm nice to my parents and I honor them and I treat them good and I buy them stuff on Mother's Day and on Father's Day and whatever, and I talk nicely about them, that somehow I'm going to live longer. That's not what this is about at all. Honoring goes a lot deeper than just being nice and saying nice things or being nice when you're around them. You know, we all struggle in some ways, I think, with our family, many times with our parents. We struggle because there's still things about our parents that are not perfect. And sometimes our parents get us angry about different things, just like we get our kids angry. But God calls us to listen to them and to honor them, do those things that are right, that they have told us. Now, that doesn't mean the things that are wrong and against him that we need to be doing. But there's many, many things that our parents have taught us that are good. And if you don't have parents, guess what it says? Then if you are forsaken by your father and mother, it says, then the Lord will take you up. So you do have parents, don't you? You have the Lord. And so we need to honor our mothers and our fathers. And in doing that, we bring honor to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray that we will apply what we have heard this morning. Lord, that those areas where we are disrespecting our parents, whether we think they deserve it or not, Lord, that you will deal with that, that we will be able to confess that to you, that we will bring you glory and honor as we honor our parents. Lord, we thank you for the good things that we have been taught by our earthly parents. And Lord, we thank you for the things that you teach us through the Holy Spirit and through your word. And Lord, I ask that we will live differently. And if there are areas that we need to confess to you, that we will be willing to release those to you and confess them to you so that they don't hinder our walk with you. Lord, you don't tell us to honor our father and mother if they've treated us well or if they've been good parents or any of that. You just tell us to honor our father and mother. So, Lord, help us to be obedient in that. And we pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.